To have each of you this morning, to those of you who are guests because of the lectures, we welcome you, and I'd like to personally tell you that if we can help you any time during the week, let us know. The secretaries will be here at the building if you need to call, if we can help, and even at night if you need something. Judy and I live in the two-story house just behind the church building here on the corner, and we're here to do anything that we can to assist you, and if you need our help, please let us know. To those that are members of the congregation here, address the next two ideas. One, we urge you to take advantage of the opportunities presented by the lectureship this week. We'll not be meeting here tonight at 6, but rather going to the service at the Lloyd Auditorium when Brother Willard Collins will be speaking. Brother Collins is 75 years old and still a powerful preacher of the gospel. And I urge you to go to the service tonight. If there is a problem with your parking over there or not being able to drive, check with me this afternoon and we'll arrange for you to have a way to go. I just believe that this is something that you don't want to miss. Tomorrow evening, Brother Leroy Brownlow, who's almost 80 years of age, will be speaking. The next evening, Brother Adrian Doran. Some of our gospel preachers who've been around longer than most of us have been. And we urge you to take advantage of these opportunities. We'll not be meeting as the church here again until next Sunday morning. Our services tonight and Wednesday night will be at the auditorium. I'd like also for the local members to observe, as indicated on the bottom of our board, that we've averaged $6,000 a week during the month of January. That indicates that we're off to a great start, $300 above our budget each week. We were able to send almost $1,000 out of that in the fund that Brother Oldham referred to at the first of the service this morning. And I hope that this is just an indication of what we'll be able to do, and I know it is, if all of us will continue with the right attitude and working together as we are. I think the congregation is to be commended for the way we've started out in 1991. Acts 16, verse 5 says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily." That verse serves as a text for our lesson this morning that we've advertised as Advancing Without the Ball. The reason for that lesson came about as we look forward to the lectureships and backwards to the Super Bowl. Now, some of you wonder where I get my sermons. That may give you an idea. The theme for the lectureship this year is Advancing Christianity. Those two words are extremely important being put together. If we just had the word advancing, we would not have the right idea. If we just had the word Christianity, we would not have the full idea. It's possible to have Christianity in a local sense and not be advancing it. It's also possible to be advancing something and it not be Christianity as God would have it to be. And so we emphasize the idea of advancing Christianity and being sure that we're not trying to advance without the ball. Last Sunday evening, I was trying to get your minds off of the Super Bowl so that I could preach. This morning, I'm trying to get your minds back on the Super Bowl so that I can preach. If you watched that game or another game, you probably saw a play that was something like this. As the play developed, the end on this side went all the way into the end zone. The end on this side went down maybe to about the 20-yard line. Another back went over the line of scrimmage and stopped at about the 40-yard line. In fact, 10 out of the 11 players on the team were all past this certain line. But when the play was over, the ball was put back here because that's where the ball was. That's where the back was that was carrying the ball. And you and I realize that advancement didn't take place unless the ball was carried. We would not have gone to the referee on the field and said, "Now listen, 10 of the players were all the way down there. You ought to put the ball down at the end zone," because we would realize that the ball goes where the ball is. And I think sometimes that's the way it is when we think about advancing Christianity, that we're trying to advance without the ball. You look at what's happening in the country of Korea, and you'll read about a religious group of people who assemble and have literally thousands in their assembly. Supposedly this one group, one of the biggest assemblies anywhere in the world, great in number, advancing in many ways. But are they advancing Christianity? Turn on your television set and you will see speakers speaking in large auditoriums. Some of those that are on there on a regular basis speak in auditoriums and temples that are so big that you literally have thousands of people, and they talk about how they're growing and how they are advancing. Are they advancing Christianity? If you follow the history of men like Billy Graham and see him in this country and in other countries go into baseball and football stadiums, you will see hundreds of thousands, sometimes almost 100,000 people that are together. And everybody's talking about what a great crowd and how many numbers involved and what advancement is taking place. Are they advancing Christianity? You see, it's possible to advance without the ball. Growth by itself, unless it's the right kind of growth, is not worth very much. And when you bring this a little closer home to us, it also applies. Occasionally, in one of our brotherhood papers, like the Christian Chronicle, there will be a list of the 10 fastest growing churches among the churches of Christ. I remember looking at a list like that some 3 or 4 years ago, and then doing a little bit of research behind the scenes, and I found out that most of those who supposedly were growing the fastest were among the Crossroads movement, or involved in the Crossroads movement. And then a little after that, if you look at those who supposedly are growing the fastest and baptizing the most, involved in the Boston movement. And some of those who are claiming to grow so fast and be accomplishing so much are those that are liberal in their thinking to the extent that they are willing to fellowship with denominations and with those who are not standing firm in the faith and in Christianity as it is described in the Word of God. And I raise the question again, is Christianity being advanced in cases such as this? But to be fair, let's look at the other side of the matter. Do you not know of congregations of the Lord's church, congregations which place so much emphasis upon the Word of God and want to be sure that the plan of salvation is taught, that the right worship is practiced, that the faith is emphasized, and all they're doing is sitting and keeping house and not doing a thing in the world to evangelize? They have the Christianity as far as the form is concerned, as far as the basic fundamental doctrines are concerned, but certainly are not on fire to advance that and to carry it to all the parts of the world. Is Christianity being advanced in those circumstances either? I suggest to you that it's a combination of both ideas that we must take into consideration. You send the player down the field and he doesn't have the ball and he doesn't score. You throw the ball down the field and the player's not there to catch it and you won't score. You've got to have the ball in the hands of the player in order to advance it in the right way. If we try to throw the gospel out there without it being in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7, we're not going to advance Christianity. But if we throw the people out there advancing something but who are not standing on the firm foundation of the truth, we're still not going to advance Christianity. We must be sure that we advance with the ball and that we stand where the truth is and emphasize the system of faith. Understanding that framework and having emphasized it, I want us to plug in 3 or 4 different passages of Scripture and look for a moment. First of all, going to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, a chapter that many of you will realize is describing the work of the Pharisees. If you were to look at the history of the time that Jesus was on earth and ask the question, were the Pharisees a group that were advancing? You might immediately say, well, yes. They were one of the most noted groups, the biggest groups. They were growing in numbers. Listen to what Jesus said to them in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now, were they advancing the truth? They were advancing. They were growing. If you had asked them especially, they would have said, oh, we're the finest religious people that there are in the land today. But Jesus said, those proselytes that you're bringing in, those that are helping your numbers to grow, you're making them not followers of God, not real followers of Christ. You're making them more the child of hell than yourselves. They were not advancing the truth. Advancing, yes, but not advancing in the right way. They were trying to advance without the ball. Back up to the 7th chapter of Matthew for just a moment. And as we read in verses 21 through 23 of Matthew 7, we see a scene at the judgment. He's referring to this, and he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now let's stop there just a moment. And let's think about the group that he's referring to here. Here's a group of people that are claiming to be doing what they're doing in the name of the Lord. They claim to be teaching in his name. They claim to be casting out devils in his name. And especially notice this, they claim to be doing many wonderful works. And no doubt from man's standpoint are doing that. They might very well be a group of people that those in the community would say, look at all the good things they're doing. Look at all the growth they are having. Look at all the work they are accomplishing. Look at the advancing that they are making. But don't overlook the next verse. Jesus says that he'll say to these folks, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now wait a minute. You mean people that are doing many wonderful works and doing all these things in the name of the Lord and calling on him and saying, Lord, Lord, you mean Jesus says, I never knew you? That's exactly what he said. And let me point out to you, that's not some preacher saying that. That's Jesus saying that. And he said, even if you advance in all these ways and you talk about all the teaching that you're doing and all the good works that you're doing, unless you have just a little bitty thing that's mentioned back here in verse 21 that's not so little. The will of God, doing his will. Unless you have that, there's no way that there can be advancement. Advancing Christianity means we've got to first have the Christianity. We must first have the faith. We must first have the system that is right before we can advance it in the right way. Turn with me next to 1 Corinthians 13, probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible to most of us. But I want you to concentrate about something that's said in the first three verses for just a moment. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Especially notice this verse. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now he's describing a group of people here who have all these things involved in their work as far as prophecy and knowledge and faith is concerned. And notice especially he says they use all their goods to feed the poor. And they're willing to sacrifice even to the point of having their bodies burned for the cause. But he says, if they don't do it with the right attitude, it isn't worth a thing. If you don't have the love that prompts that in the right way, though you make progress, it isn't worth a thing. You see, as we've looked at these passages of Scripture, these three, we've seen something, I hope, as we've put these into the framework of advancing Christianity. Number one, there must be the right doctrine. Number two, there must be the right attitude. And number three, there must be the right process. And unless there's a combination of those three, we're not advancing Christianity. If we get out and do a lot of works to where we could sit down and list them, one, two, three, four, maybe with the false idea that we can earn our salvation, we're still not advancing true Christianity if we don't have the right attitude. And if we grow in numbers and we advance and we grow, but we do not have the foundation of the fundamental principles of the faith, are we advancing Christianity? And the answer immediately comes, certainly not. We must have the right doctrine, we must have the right attitude, and then we must have the right process to take that Christianity to the whole world. There are two passages of Scripture that especially point this out. One is in Ephesians 4 and the other in our text in Acts 16. You're aware in Ephesians 4 that he talks about the people in the church and the different works and the different people in those works, verses 12 and 13, 14. Then he comes down to verses 15 and 16 and says this, Ephesians 4. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, notice, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Numerical growth and spiritual growth. Quantity growth and quality growth. And in order for him to say that there would be quantity and quality growth, notice these three things that we mentioned a moment ago in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love may grow. Truth, the right doctrine. Love, the right attitude. And growth, the right process. And then back to the book of Acts in chapter 15 or 16 there again, verse 5. And this time let's add verse 4 to it. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so, and now any time when you have a verse that starts with those two little words, and so, it means the same thing as therefore. It means that what comes after is made possible by what cause of what comes before. And so the churches were established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. Why? Because they delivered the decrees for to keep. What were those decrees? The decrees that had come from the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. Those same people to whom the Holy Spirit had come to guide them in teaching all truth. The same people that Jesus had said in Matthew 16, 19, whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. What was he saying? He was saying if there's going to be the kind of established growth that is needed, there must be the delivering of those apostles' teachings, those inspired teachings for to keep. And when those teachings from God are delivered and kept, you'll be established in the faith, and then you can take that faith and you can advance it, and you will be advancing Christianity. If we advance without the faith, we're not advancing Christianity. And if we are content to sit in our own little buildings and establish the faith and not go out to teach it, we're not advancing Christianity. Advancing Christianity means being established in the faith and then spreading that faith to the ends of the world. And he says the way that that's done is delivering the decrees for to keep. And folks, those decrees that were delivered from the apostles, those decrees that were to be kept, include the plan of salvation that's still in effect today. It still teaches belief, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. It still teaches repentance, confession, and prayer to God when we go astray. And those decrees that were delivered for to keep still teach the kind of worship that's pleasing to God, the way we are to live in our conduct day by day, and the way we are to promote and spread that system of Christianity throughout the world. They delivered the decrees for to keep, and then they were established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. We trust that you and I may be established in the faith, and we also trust and pray that we'll increase in numbers daily, meaning that if you're not a Christian, that you'll come to Christ. If you're a wayward child of His, you'll come to Him even now as together we stand and sing.